Hi, this is Cal Petty, and you're on the road with Dane of WGN.
Victims of psychos, victims of life, victims are wrong, victims are right.
720 WGN on the road with Dane here in the Allstate Showcase Studio, live on Michigan Avenue, and on the line with the Styles, one of the great personalities of auto racing, 30 years as a Cup Series driver, and of course as a TV analyst, commentator, even radio host on PRN's Fast Talk, and always one of the true ambassadors for motorsports. It's the one and only Kyle Petty. Welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
Now, in the intro, we fit in a bunch of stuff, but with your career, you've been a lot of things to a lot of people, worn a lot of hats, but also with Victory Junction and with the Kyle Petty Charity Ride Across America, for a sport that does give back a lot in a lot of different ways, you are probably the greatest philanthropist, humanitarian of racing.
I wouldn't go that far, but I tell you what, it is a great sport, and I don't care if we go. We can go back to the very beginning almost, and to my father's era with Pearson and him and Cale and Bobby and Donnie and those guys, and this most recent group with Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson and Dale Jr. and what they do. I'm just another spoke in the wheel here of what NASCAR and NASCAR drivers have done, and been very, very blessed to use the platform that we have to do things for other people.
Wow, you talk about the spoke, but you're one of the most favorite spokes of so many different fans out there. And you look at the social media, and of course, you're giving back, and what you're doing means a lot to all the people that you're helping, specifically children that that you interact with around the country. But you look at the social media, you're having a great time with it too. So as much as you're giving back, you're getting a lot from this.
Oh yeah, always, man, always. You know what? We're very, very blessed. You know, when Adam's accident happened and we built the camp here in North Carolina, we've seen, I think, 27 or 28,000 children from every state in the U.S., from five or six foreign countries, totally free of charge. They've come to North Carolina to be a part of this camp. And we've been very blessed at this camp that, as the guys I mentioned a minute ago, Jeff and Jimmy and Dale Jr. and Michael Waltrip and Tony Stewart and Kurt and Kyle Busch and Matt Kenseth, and I can go on and on. Every driver, every owner has had something to do with this camp in some way, shape, or form. So I think NASCAR, I think the camp is kind of Switzerland. It's just neutral territory for these guys. They can come in and do stuff for other people. But, yes, we have been very blessed to do things for other people and to use this platform, but also very blessed to have a place that other people want to come.
Yeah, you talk about Victory Junction and the place that you have there. You describe it as Switzerland, a place with kind of no judgments, no rules. Everybody can get there, enjoy, be at one with themselves in that location. But with the charity ride, you get out there and you take it to the people. You travel all across the country. People are so enthusiastic about it, and you're all over the place. Now, racing in general is one of those sports, and we talk about it here on that show. I mean, you guys travel from coast to coast all the time. So you're seeing the country no matter what, just participating in racing. But for you getting out there, and you mentioned on the motorcycle, kind of just really experiencing the scenery that comes alive as you drive there. What are some places that maybe you had an opinion of or you thought you knew about, but then once you got there and experienced it, it was really different?
You know, that's a good question. Because here's the thing. You know, when I grew up in this sport, it was a southeastern sport. And that's what it was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and on into the early 80s. Till, you know, we started building other facilities and we started going other places. You know, they were out of a 35 or 36 race schedule, there were 14 or 16 races when you start throwing in Rockingham and Darlington and Wilkesboro and Bristol, places like that were in 200, 220 miles of where I lived in North Carolina. So it was consolidated in this area. But, you know, once they built Chicago and Kansas and Dallas, you know, and we started going to California and Vegas a little bit more and some of that places, it opened up this schedule. But, you know, there's a lot of places we don't go. We did our motorcycle ride, the Cal Petty Charity Ride this year. We went from Oregon and to Washington, over through Idaho and to Montana, down through Wyoming and South Dakota, and over through Minnesota and into Wisconsin. And I'm telling you, there are a ton of race fans there, and there are a ton of race tracks. Now, they're not cup tracks. They're not the NASCAR Cup Series tracks and not NASCAR per se tracks where the big guys race. But there are a ton of race fans, and it is so cool when you've got Richard Petty or Harry Gant or is Herschel McGriff with us or Donnie Allison and David Reagan rode with us this year. When you bring a guy that they saw on TV on Sunday and he's standing in Mitchell, South Dakota on Tuesday, they're like, oh, my God, how did this guy get to Mitchell, South Dakota? So it's pretty cool to watch that and to go out to these places. And as you say, kind of take the sport to these people.
Yep. For them to see some of their idols up front in person, especially some of those locations that I think we would consider, you know, metropolitan areas or even in the race community are kind of remote. But sometimes, so they're excited to see you, but sometimes you get to go to a destination that's iconic, legendary, but that is fun for you guys to go to. I saw some of the pictures of you up at the Harley-Davidson headquarters in Milwaukee. What was that like?
Oh, my, let me tell you something. Harley-Davidson headquarters is the mecca for me. It's so funny because before we went on air, you know, you told me a little bit about the show. I'm not a car guy. I grew up being a motorcycle guy. I am not a car guy. And people will always say, man, you got to be a car guy. What about this car or that car? Here's the thing. By the time I was 10 years old, I had been to the top of Mount Everest as far as cars go. My dad drove a 1970 Superbird with a wing on the front and a 426 Hemi inside of it. Right. And you didn't get any cooler when it comes to cars than that car. That was the top of the mountain. So I switched to motorcycles right about that time and have been just a motorcycle freak since then. So to be able to go to Milwaukee, to go to the museum, to have Bill Davidson from the museum come out and ride with us, you know, it's like people were like, well, your dad's Richard Petty, you're riding with him. I'm like, yeah, but I get to ride with Bill Davidson.
Right.
Hey, this is how big this is. This is bigger. This is bigger than Richard Petty to me. I'm sorry. That kind of thing. So, yeah, it was fantastic. We went by the headquarters on Juneau Avenue. They all came out and waved at us and all that stuff. And it's like, man, it was just surreal for me to have loved Harley Davidson for that long and finally be able to go there.
It's a celebration wherever you go, and of course you're bringing that to the people. It's cool to see you enjoying some of the places as much as maybe the people are enjoying you. When you talk about celebrations and you bring up your dad and the family and the legacy and being one of those the first families of motorsports, well, first off, I know you guys are celebrating. It's big for the King. It's 80th birthday coming up in July, and you're going to be doing a bunch of stuff throughout the course of the summer, so we're going to talk about that for a second. But this is your birthday weekend, so happy birthday, Kyle Petty. And how does Kyle Petty celebrate when so much of your life has been just pretty awesome? People want to know, like, how do you kick back and enjoy it?
I'm not going to leave the house. I'm just going to I vegged out on racing last week with Monaco and Indy and the 600. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to be tuned in watching all the practices and everything that's going on up there. That's all I want to do this weekend. I'm going to be totally honest with you, because coming off the ride that we just experienced over the last two or three weeks, and then last week having the Coca-Cola 600 here, and I'm still very fortunate to be a spokesperson for Coke. So I had a lot of stuff to do here last weekend. This weekend, since it was my birthday, is my takeoff weekend. And if anybody makes me go outside, I'm going to be mad. I'm just going to sit in air condition, watch TV, and veg out. That's going to be my birthday wish.
It's going to be just some Kyle time for that. But for America and the racing community that want to celebrate with your dad, what kind of stuff do you guys have planned? People want to know. I know when you get here to Chicagoland, they've got some celebrations. I got to imagine they're doing stuff all over.
Oh, my God. Everywhere we go, you know, they're doing stuff for my dad. They're doing stuff in Daytona, which is really right around his birthday. His birthday is July 2nd, only a month away. But I think everywhere we go, I told him the other day, I said, if we just go by, I know you're going to be 80 years old, but if we go by how many times we sing happy birthday to you this year, you're going to be about 225. because we have already sang it about 60 times this year already. But almost every racetrack is doing something, and they're doing a lot of stuff in the fan zone, so the fans can be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, this is not just Richard Petty and our family. This is a big deal, and I tell people all the time, man, When you're around my dad, you need to ask him questions, because he's walking history, man.
Oh, yeah.
He was here when they ran the first race back in the late 40s with my granddad. He was there at that race at 12 or 13. He knew those guys. It's funny. Every time somebody gets inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame, he either knew them when he was a little boy, grew up racing against them, or has been their hero as they came along. It's funny to listen to the guys talk to him. But, there's a lot of stuff going on this year. My family's doing some stuff here in Level Cross. We just had a big thing for a bunch of Petty fans last weekend called Petty Fest, where they probably had 2,500, 3,000 fans come to Level Cross and have a big birthday celebration and car show and stuff. So I just tell them, tell me where to show up, and I'll be there.
Oh, well, you know you're doing something right for many, many years when you have an event called Petty Fest. You know that.
And yes,
the listeners now, they heard it straight from you. The best thing that you can get Kyle Petty is peace and quiet. So don't bug him. Let him get in there, kind of have some Kyle time and enjoy himself. But for your dad, a guy who, you know, has, you know, for the career side, accolades, has everything that you could want, and I'm sure, you know, if he needs a new, you know, television, he can go get one. What do you get for your dad? Or is it just being together that's the important thing?
You know, I think for myself and my three sisters, since our mom's passed away, it's just being together. I think that's the big deal. We all just get together and just kind of hang out. And we probably aggravate him because he will disappear about halfway through the day and you can't find him. And then he comes back out somewhere and he's been out in the woods on his four wheeler. He's gone back over to the race shop to get away from all of us. But in the end, he enjoys it. He enjoys the whole family being there, and we definitely enjoy it.
Well, I wanted to ask you this, too, and you mentioned it, too. You did mention Adam, and I know that's the inspiration for Victor Junction. And I remember the first time I got a chance personally to interview you was here in Chicago, maybe 1999. And it was, I think, we were doing stuff with Chicagoland Speedway, and a couple drivers were just starting their NASCAR careers. Tony Stewart, of course, had raced in IndyCar before, and Matt Kenseth, and there was a couple of other drivers there as well. And I had asked you because, I mean, it is a unique situation. You've got one of these sports at the highest level that doesn't have, you know, that normal kind of scholastic avenue to, in order to get there. And I said, you know, Kyle, what would you tell a young person who would want to go ahead and get into racing and someday, you know, become a race car driver, become you? And you said, your answer was very candid and also very Kyle Petty. It was like, know somebody with a lot of money. That's what that's what you said at the time. Now we do have, you know, we've got the Drive for Diversity. You look at a lot of the young drivers coming up. They're from all around the country, not so regional as you'd mentioned. The sport might have been many, many years ago. But what are your thoughts on new drivers and kids, I guess, who see this and say, that's what I want to do?
Yeah, you know what? It is incredibly tough. I'm not going to lie. We are seeing a lot of it right now just because we're in the middle of a changing of the guard. And what I mean by that is this. If we go back to 1988, between 1988 and 1992 or 3, Richard Petty ran his last race. David Pearson ran his last race. Kel Yarborough ran his last race. Bobby and Donnie Allison ran their last race. So many great drivers left the sport over that five-year period. If we are in the sport right now, we've seen Tony and Jeff. Now, Junior's announced his. Carl stepped out. And you know that you've got Jimmy Johnson and Kevin Harvick and Matt Kenseth and Ryan Newman. There's four or five other guys that are going to be following suit in the next 3 or 4 years. So we're seeing a massive changing of the guard. And as I say that, we've got Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney and Eric Jones and Daniel Suarez and Kyle Larson. And a young driver that's already kicking butt and taking names, Joey Logano, who's 26, who's only a couple of years older than that group of guys.
Right.
So there's that change in the guard. Now, that's good. That is great if the sport is that healthy. But if you're a young driver, that may not be the greatest thing in the world because these seats are going to be taken for the next 15 or 20 years, and there's no opening in the sport. Remember, this is a sport where guys stay 15 or 20 years. So if I'm a 10 or 12-year-old, and I expect to be in this sport in the next 10 or 12 years, I don't know. Eric Jones is going to be a superstar then. Ryan Blaney is going to be a superstar. Chase Elliott's going to be a superstar. Where's my opening to get into this sport? I still think it's an incredibly hard sport to get into. Timing, knowing people, being in the right place at the right time is just as important, if not more important, than the talent you bring to the table. And that's a sad scenario sometimes, but that's a fact, Jack. And that's just the way it is. And there's a lot of great race car drivers out there that could have been the next Richard Petty, that could have been the next Jeff Gordon or Jimmy Johnson, that'll never get a shot at it because the timing was wrong.
Yep.
And I don't know what that says about the sport or says about where we're at, but that's a fact.
Yeah. I think some of the things that kind of lean into some advantages maybe now as opposed to maybe 20 years ago is you do have social media. So if you're great and you're popular, you can kind of get the word out. I think you mentioning some of those smaller tracks that are around the country that you're visiting on the charity ride are those great places where you can get in there, get your skills, you know, as sharp as possible. But you're right. You really do need to know some people. You need to be kind of resourceful and kind of figure out the best way to get yourself in front of the people who can make those difference. And in the end, though, again, you're right, is there's only so many places. There's only so many spots. There's great drivers that are down in, you know, Xfinity that are not getting an opportunity to necessarily race where they might have if there were spots. There just isn't.
Yeah, there's, you know what, and there's, in reality, there's almost fewer spots because you do have these car owners that have multiple teams, you know, and you start looking at it. If I look at Denny and Kyle Busch, you know, a couple of guys that are in their early to mid-30s, and then I look at Daniel Suarez, who's there, and I know they've loaned out Eric Jones, so does Eric come back and take Matt's place when Matt returns? If that be the case, then there's not going to be an opening there for another 8 or 10 years. You know what I mean? And that's the quandary with a multi-car team sometimes. If a driver's having a bad year, the other three drivers can cover for him, and still that team succeeds and that team thrives and that team moves on. We're used to, if it was just a single-car team and a driver had a bad year or two bad years, my God, you were willing to replace him. That doesn't happen as much now.
Well, is you know, one thing that is good for the fans is that as there is maybe a shortage of opportunities for drivers, it's because the other drivers there are doing a good job keeping their jobs and entertaining people around the country. As the teams, everybody kind of heads to Dover. Do you have like a thought or two on Dover before we let you go?
You know what? That's a good question. You know, I was excited that Austin Dillon won at Charlotte. I think that kid's been knocking on the door, and I know it was a few miles race. But let me tell you. Win's a win. There's no asterisk beside of it that says it. He got the trophy. He got the check. He got the ring. He's the winner. Sorry, that's the way it is for everybody else that wants to belittle that a little bit. But I think when you go to Dover, man, we've seen some guys run at Dover through the years. Matt Kenseth, Jimmy Johnson. Those guys just seem to fall into that place. I think we've seen Kyle Larson run really good up there the last couple of races. And Kyle's got to do something to turn these last couple of weeks around for him. As he leads the points and does some of that stuff. So I'm looking for Kyle to have a good, strong run. Kyle Larson to have a good, strong run this weekend.
One Kyle recommending another Kyle as the Monster Energy Cup Series heads to one of those unique locations up there in the Northeast in Delaware. So we know that people are going to leave you alone. It's on your birthday. You're going to get back to relaxing, enjoying some Kyle time. But before I let you go, if you want to give out the information social media-wise so people can follow your adventures and, of course, catch up with everything with the Victory Junction and the charity ride so they can get involved and support it.
Yeah, you can follow me at just Kyle Petty on Twitter. That's pretty straightforward, pretty simple, and if you want to cut through all the BS, just follow me, because I'm not going to give you any BS. Victory Junction is victoryjunction.org to find out more about camp, and if anybody listening knows any kids that could benefit from this camp, please call camp and recommend them. It's totally free of charge. We pay to get your child there and send your child home, so we would love to see more and more kids. That's what the charity ride's all about. What camp's all about. And for the charity ride, you can go to kylepettycharityride.com for our website, or just follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at KP Charity Ride. And there's a lot of great pictures, a lot of great people that rode this year.
Kyle Petty, one of the greatest personalities in the world of motorsports, doing some of his best and most important work right now on the charity side. Thanks so much for what you're doing. Enjoy your weekend, and thanks for being on WGN today.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.